as we continue in our series on understanding mercy. And of course, we can't consider mercy, can we, without considering the subject of forgiveness. Because God's mercy brings forgiveness into our lives. There are two sides to this truth of mercy. And that the fact that mercy forgives. And Jesus talked about this, about both sides, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. And when he taught us to pray, and he said, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Mercy brings freedom in two specific ways. One, when you say to God, "Would you, Father, forgive me?" And the second is when I say, "I forgive you." Now, we're going to look at these two types of forgiveness this morning. Remember what we've said in weeks past, that the definition of mercy is undeserved forgiveness, that's what we're focusing on today, and unearned kindness. I need that from God, and others need that from me. So how does God apply this to me, and then how do I apply that to other people? Well, there are two simple truths. The first one is this. Mercy means that God forgives me. That's the greatest good news ever, if you haven't realized it. God is willing to give you a completely clean slate and a total fresh start. So how does God do that? He is willing to remove, as we've just sung in a song here, he is willing to remove the debt of our sin and set us free from it. That's how good the good news is. Forgiveness is not merely a theological fact. It's a personal, and I emphasize that, it is a personal gift from God to you. So let me ask you a question. Many of us know about forgiveness as a fact. But do you really sense and do you feel forgiven in your heart? A lot of people simply do not feel or know that they are truly forgiven. That's a problem. There's a problem when you feel guilty, but at the same time, you don't feel forgiven. Often you hear people say, "I just feel so guilty." Haven't you heard people saying that? Have you ever heard anybody say, "I just feel so forgiven"? Often we don't do that, but we should. Because that is what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. He has forgiven us our sin. Forgiveness is not just an emotion, but it's this genuine experience of God's forgiveness in our lives that creates, yes, creates an emotion that then sinks deep down into our hearts. Now, guilt, usually what it does, it draws us away from God. Because who wants to be close to the person who is making you feel guilty? But when you sense and feel God's forgiveness, it draws you closer to God because you know then of His grace and His love and His forgiveness in your life. So let's look at some of the truths about forgiveness. Number one, God wants to forgive me. Do you hear that? God wants to forgive me. He wasn't forced into it. He chose to do it simply because of His love for you and for me. One of the ways to feel forgiven is to recognize how God feels about forgiving you. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 17 says, "You are a God of forgiveness, always ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to become angry, and full of love and mercy." He is always ready to forgive me. God is not a reluctant God. He's not reluctant to forgive you. His love and His mercy is overflowing from Him into my life. Micah These are great Old Testament scriptures. Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. Do not stay angry forever, but delight. You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. He's talking about God. Did you know that showing mercy and forgiveness is one of God's favorite things to do? He loves to do it. God looks forward to forgiving you. The Bible says, from before the world created, he was already planning to do that. That's how long he has looked forward to forgiving you and me. You start to get a hold of that, and then you start to feel a whole lot different about forgiveness in your life. The second truth is this: God freely forgives me. Romans chapter 3, verses 23 to 24. Well known, but let me read it from the Living Bible. It talks about this. All of us have sinned, yet now God declares us not guilty of offending him if we trust in Jesus Christ, who freely takes away our sins. Now, this verse reminds us that we can never earn or deserve God's forgiveness. It's a gift. It's a gift of his grace. Just because it's free doesn't mean for 1 minute that it costs nothing. It costs a whole lot. It costs the life of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Again, we were singing about that just now. Jesus died on the cross to offer us the gift of forgiveness. He paid the price that we could not pay, so that we wouldn't have to pay it. That's what the cross of Jesus Christ is all about. Forgiveness for Jesus cost him his life on the cross. But for you and me, it's absolutely free. When we freely trust in God, God freely forgives us. And because we're human, forgiveness is something that we are in constant need of. Jesus Christ, because of God's decision, gave his life, and we received this incredible gift of forgiveness. Now look at this gift. God is willing to totally forgive everything that you have ever done in your life. Now the question that I want to have as I deal with people on a daily basis is, what would keep you from wanting to receive such a gift? And there may be lots of reasons, but I believe, and as I come into contact, there are two main reasons why people do not want to do that. One is simply, they just do not believe that it could possibly be true. How could something that is so good be true? Billions of people, and I mean billions of people, have been changed by this truth of forgiveness. Jesus dying on the cross says to you and me, it is true. God does love you. There is forgiveness for you. The second reason people have a hard time accepting this truth is that you think you don't deserve it. You look around and you think, all these nice people in church here, if they only knew what I have done, they'd realize that this part of the message that Mike's giving is not for me. I don't deserve to be forgiven for what I've done. Let me just say that if you are feeling that, the people that are sitting next to you, that are sitting around you, the nice people in this church, are not as nice as you think they are. The truth of the matter is, we all have our own stories. We all struggle. Now, I'm not trying to minimize the struggle that you may be having. It may be greater than anyone else here. But that doesn't matter, because God's forgiveness is still greater than any sin. The grace of forgiveness is for every single one of us. No one deserves to be forgiven. It's a gift that God gives to you. You can trust Him to give you that gift as He said He would. And He freely gives that gift. Then as He freely gives this gift, you know what He does? He sets us free. Look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. You know, we talk so much about sensing this forgiveness of God in our lives. But my question is, are you enjoying the forgiveness that you have received from God? It's part of what it means to be forgiven. You can stop having to pay for all the wrongs you've done and simply start to enjoy the forgiveness that God has given you. You can stop letting shame and guilt push you into their mold and distort and corrupt your life. You can stop feeling judged by God and by others right now. You can stop letting the shame of that memory of what has happened in the past haunt you any longer. And start to enjoy your forgiveness. Here's what God does. Shame and guilt and fear are replaced by peace and His grace and His love. That's the freedom He gives you. So enjoy that freedom. That's part of feeling and enjoying the forgiveness that God has given you. Number four, recognize God immediately forgives me. Sorry, that's number three. I can't count. God immediately forgives me. It's not like God says, well, you know, Mike, that particular sin, that was terrible. I'd like you to suffer a little bit first, and then I'll forgive you. So why don't you come and chat to me again on Wednesday, and we'll talk about it then. No, He immediately forgives me when I come to Him seeking His forgiveness. Isaiah 55 and verse 7, God says, God is merciful and quick to forgive. God quickly forgives you. So as someone who has been forgiven, as a follower of Jesus Christ, should you ever feel guilty? Yes, you should. For as long as it takes for you to realize what you've done and come in faith and repentance and confession of that sin to Him and ask for His forgiveness. That's about how long you should remain guilty. Recognize what God has done for you. Guilt in your life is like a warning light that comes on the dashboard of your motor car that something is wrong with the vehicle. When you see the warning light come on, you don't just sit there and gaze and stare at it. No, you do something about it. And when the warning light of guilt comes on in your life, don't just sit there and stare at the guilt. Every time you sense the feeling of guilt, turn your eyes to the cross of Jesus Christ, because that's where forgiveness and grace is to be found. That's where God's love is in every one of our lives. You know, there's this myth that many people live with, that somehow feeling guilty makes you a better person. No, it does not. All it does is make you a miserable person. Grace makes you a better person. So turn your eyes to what Jesus Christ has done. God immediately forgives you. Then this truth, God completely forgives me. When God forgives, there's no part of that sin that is not forgiven. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 14 makes this abundantly clear. God forgave all our sins. Now get this. He canceled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. He has canceled the record, completely annulled it as if it never happened. God has canceled the record of your sin. This verse says, He destroyed it. It's not like God took the file of your sin and then he put it in some great filing cabinet which he locked up and then he said, just in case you get out of line again, I'll pull this file out. No. He took that file and he shredded it. Then he incinerated the shredding and then he atomized the incineration. You need to realize that there is no evidence left. Because of that, of what God has done in Christ Jesus, God has totally erased the record of your sin. It's amazing good news. It's amazing forgiveness. Micah chapter 7 and verse 19 says this. Yes, you will have mercy on us again. You will conquer our sins. You will throw away our sins into the deepest part of the sea. So let me ask you. If God has forgiven your sins and he has put them in the past, shouldn't you recognize the grace of his forgiveness? The problem is, until I begin to understand complete forgiveness, every time something happens in my life as a Christian, every time something bad happens in my life as a Christian, I think God is out to get me. God is punishing me. God is getting even with me. God is not out to get you. There is no condemnation, the Bible tells us, for those who are in Christ Jesus. So stop feeling that God's punishing you and start recognizing that God has actually forgiven you. The longer you think he's punishing you, the further you are going to want to be away from him. The more you recognize his love for you, the closer you are wanting to get to him. The truth of forgiveness is that in many ways, that this is the most basic truth of following Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid for our sin, and we are forgiven. And if you're feeling this doesn't seem right somehow, I know what I've done. I know what countless numbers of other people have done who have been forgiven. This just doesn't seem to be right. If you're feeling that, good. Because the truth of the matter is, we are not talking about justice. We are talking about forgiveness. We are talking about mercy. And God has decided he could have exercised justice if he'd wanted to. But instead, he decided to choose forgiveness, love, and mercy for the simple fact that he deeply loves you. He chose love and mercy over justice. James chapter 2 and verse 13 says, mercy triumphs over justice. Mercy wins. I also want you to realize that there's another part of this truth. If we don't talk about this, you'll be missing a lot of freedom in your life. Even though it's very hard to deal with, and I realize some of the things I'm about to say are going to be very hard for some of you to deal with. Because we've all been hurt in our life, some to a greater extent than others perhaps. So I know how difficult it is to even talk about this. Because mercy means not only that I recognize that God has forgiven me, but mercy means that I have to forgive others. Whoa. I want to talk about how God helps us in our struggle to forgive. We struggle to forgive for two main reasons. One reason we struggle is because if I haven't been forgiven, if I haven't experienced and known the forgiveness of God, I don't have anything to give you. So if I haven't been forgiven by God, I can't give you forgiveness. Not in the way that God intends anyway. But another aspect to that is this. If I don't feel forgiven, I then don't feel like forgiving. That's why we talked and we talk about feeling and sensing God's forgiveness in our lives. Because when I know that, then I am able to start sharing that with other people. But I think possibly the greatest reason people struggle with forgiveness is simply a misunderstanding of what forgiveness is really all about. There's a teaching out there that says that forgiveness has nothing, well, there's a teaching out there about forgiveness that has nothing whatsoever to do with what the Bible teaches. To bring this out, here's a quick quiz. Those of you who've got outlines in front of you, here's a quick quiz. Now, I want you to just answer true or false. Just put a circle around T or F. A person, here's the quiz. A person should not be forgiven until he or she asks for it. True or false? You haven't really forgiven until you've forgotten the offense. True or false? Forgiving includes minimizing the offense and the pain caused. True or false? Forgiveness includes restoring trust and reuniting a relationship. True or false? When I see someone hurt, it's my duty to forgive the offender. True or false? Now let me tell you the truth. Every one of those, every one of those is false. The last one, for instance. If I see someone who has been hurt, it is not my duty to forgive them. It's the person who was offended who has to forgive them. You forgive the person who has hurt you, and they forgive the person who has hurt them. And sometimes we think we're being Christian when we're simply being rude. I think some of us suffer from a Messiah complex by doing that. So don't do that. I want us to look at the others also and see what the Bible actually teaches about forgiveness, and specifically our forgiveness of other people. The number one truth. The Bible teaches forgiveness is not conditional. Other people don't have to earn or even ask for forgiveness before you give it. Ephesians 4 and verse 32, and I want to read it from the Message translation. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. People do not have to earn your forgiveness any more than you could earn God's forgiveness. When it comes to forgiving other people, forgiveness is absolutely unconditional. That's hard for some of you to swallow, isn't it? That's a very challenging thought. I think at times we all struggle with what that really means. Many years ago, and it was many years ago, when Irene and I were still courting, we had the privilege of meeting a wonderful, wonderful saint of God. She's gone home to be with the Lord now. Her name was Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom, as some of you will know, was a prisoner in a Nazi concentration camp during World War II. As a Christian, her family had housed and protected and hidden Jewish families in Holland. They were caught and taken to this concentration camp, and her sister died in that camp. After the war, she began to go around Europe telling people the good news of God's love, even in the midst of all the devastation from World War II. Then something happened to her. I'd like to read her story. It's worth listening to. She writes, "I was in a church in Munich and I saw him, a balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. People were filing out of the basement room where I had just spoken. It was 1947 and I'd come from Holland to a defeated Germany with the message of God's forgiveness. And that's when I saw him working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat. The next I saw the blue uniform and the visor cap with the cross and skull. It came back to me with a rush. The huge room at that concentration camp at Ravensbrück, with its harsh overhead light, and the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of having to walk naked past this man. The man who was making his way forward had been a god, one of the cruelest. Now he was in front of me, his hand thrust out. A fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know, as you say, that our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than reach out and take his hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among thousands of women? But I remembered him. The leather crop swinging from his belt. I was face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mention Ravensbrück in your talk, he said. I was a god there. But since that time, he went on, I've become a Christian, and I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things that I did there. But I'd like to hear it from your lips as well, Fräulein. Again, the hand came out. Will you forgive me? I stood there. I, whose sins had again and again been forgiven, but I could not forgive. My sister Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death by simply asking? It could have not been more than a few seconds that he stood there, hand held out. But it seemed like hours to me as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I'd ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew it not only as a commandment of God, but also as my daily experience. Since the end of the war, I'd had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were also able to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what their physical scars. Those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. It was as simple and as horrible as that. Still, I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion, and I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. Jesus, I can lift my hand. I can do that much. Would you supply the feeling? So woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started to flow from my shoulder. It raced down my arm and it sprung into our joined hands. Then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former god and the former prisoner. I have never known God's love so intensely as I did then. Now, what do you do with a story like that? One thing we often do is we feel guilty because we think the person I'm forgiving is the one at the office who said some terrible things about me. And here's this woman forgiving a Nazi god from a concentration camp. And it's very easy to feel guilty about our struggles with forgiveness, but we all struggle no matter who we are or where we are. And the problem with feeling guilty and thinking, I'll forgive them, I must. If she forgave, I have to forgive. Your forgiveness then is only going to last as long as your guilt lasts. Let me tell you something. Guilt is a hopeless motivator for forgiveness. So instead of feeling guilty, let me invite you to see the fact that God has the power to give the strength to forgive no matter what has happened in your life. There's another truth to recognize about forgiveness. And this is the one that many people are most confused about. Forgiveness is not forgetting. You've heard that phrase, I'm sure, forgive and forget. Well, I'll tell you something. That is not in the Bible. How do you forget the pain, the intense pain that happened to you? That's just not going to happen. So you often think, I can't forgive because I can't forget. Forgiveness is not forgetting. There are some little known verses about real forgiveness. And Paul wrote some of these to his son in the faith, Timothy. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 4 to 15. Alexander, the metalworker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. Now we've read about Paul saying, forgive each other thoroughly, completely from the heart. Now he says about Alexander, he did me a lot of harm. I hope God repays him for what he did. I honestly believe that Paul had forgiven Alexander. But because he forgave him, doesn't mean for one minute that he forgot the hurt of the possibility also of him hurting somebody else. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness and forgetting are two entirely separate issues. Paul does not say, I'm going to get even with him. But he says, the Lord will repay him. That's how I know he's probably forgiven him. He's not holding it in his own hands any longer. He's handed it over to God to deal with him. The truth of the matter is, he's putting it into God's hands and he's taken it out of his own hands. If you hold the bitterness and revenge in your heart and in your hands, it's going to eat you up from the inside out. You turn it over to God, as Paul had done, but he didn't forget it. The truth of the matter is, you need to forgive. You need to let it go. You need to put it in God's hands. And then let God heal those memories like only God can do. Don't worry about forgetting. You just choose to forgive. Another truth. Forgiveness is not trusting the person again. Remember what Paul said to Timothy? Be on your guard against him. He doesn't say, I've forgiven him. Give him another chance. He says, this is a guy who has hurt me deeply and has affected our ministry to a great level. So you need to be on your guard. He has forgiven him, but he is not trusting him yet. This thing about trusting people, it takes time. There are cases where you forgive someone, but you should not take them or trust them back into your lives because of the hurt they can do to you and the hurt they can do to other people. Forgiveness is immediate. Trust is earned over time. If it's not trusting, then what is forgiveness? I mean, what is it? Well, forgiveness is releasing it to God. That's what Paul did. When someone has hurt you, how do you start to heal? You see, revenge, repayment, and resentment just don't work. That just brings it all back into your life once again. If you've ever been caught in a riptide, we were diving together once, years ago, Irene and I was down on the ledge under the sea fetching crayfish out there. And when I looked up again, Irene was on her way to Australia. because she had got caught, and those of you who know the ocean, she had got caught in a riptide. And if you've ever been caught in a riptide in the ocean, you know suddenly, because of the power of that current, you are somewhere where you don't want to be. You didn't take yourself there. The current took you there. Unforgiveness, I want to tell you, is like that in your life. It will take you to places you don't want to be. You'll find yourself saying things and doing things that you never wanted to. Being a person you didn't want to be. That's the danger of unforgiveness. I have seen firsthand what unforgiveness can do. It destroys families. It destroys marriages. It destroys careers. It destroys people's spirit. So release it to God. You trust it into His hands. When you hold on to hurt, I'll tell you something, it soon becomes a hate. When you have a bitterness in your life and you don't release that bitterness, you start, and how many of us have seen this? You start to resemble that bitterness. You start to become like the person you won't forgive. Instead of saying, I'm going to take revenge, you say, I'm going to put it in God's hands. I let it go. And when you forgive like that, I'll tell you something, it sets you free. And when you release it, you are set free to set others free as well. Forgiveness sets families free. There's tremendous power in forgiveness. The truth is, forgiveness is actually not something you do. It is something that God has done. Forgiveness is not a gift that you give. It's a gift that God has actually given you, and all you are doing is taking that gift and passing it on to someone else. And once we recognize that, we recognize that forgiveness is not about us. It's about God. It is always about God, right from the beginning. That's the truth we hang on to. The truth of Colossians 3 and verse 13. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Let's pray together. I invite you now to, if you would like to just pray quietly in your heart along with me. Father, thank you for forgiving me. Help me during this week to recognize the truth of your forgiveness and to genuinely feel the joy of that forgiveness. You've given me permission to do that, to enjoy my forgiveness. Some of you might need to pray as you sit quietly here this morning. Lord, there's someone I need to forgive. So right now, I release them. I release them to you, Lord. Maybe you felt like you couldn't even pray that. It's too deep a pain. You say, I can't do that. Then I invite you to pray this. Lord, I'm not where I can do that yet. But I'm willing, Lord, to be made willing. Lord, work with me and show me your way in this. And Lord, all of us are grateful for the forgiveness that's been given through the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh, we are so grateful for that. For the love that is shown to us. Thank you for that power of your love. Lord, help us to pass that gift on to someone else. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.